You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
I am a fan of Doc McStuffins. My kids, they watch the show. With this episode, they see a family that looks like our family. We're two moms and we have a boy and a girl, two kids. It's going to be very exciting for them to see that, to see our family represented. We're a family and families stick together.
That is Wanda Sykes. She is the voice of one of the characters on the Disney Channel's cartoon called Doc McStuffins, reacting to a recent episode that featured a lesbian couple as parents. This is aimed, by the way, at your preschoolers, at children who are still learning, well, they are learning their colors, they're learning their shapes, they're learning words. A few of them are learning some numbers. They're learning how to do the basic things of life. And apparently Disney thinks one of those basic things is to inculcate in them an acceptance of the LGBTQ agenda. We're going to be talking about that and what our guest in the next few minutes calls the Christian bubble. Shane Morris is our guest. He's senior writer for Breakpoint and author of a recent column titled On the Christian Bubble and Being the Bad Guys. Shane, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you.
Why do Christians need to get accustomed to the idea that at least culturally, pop culturally, we are going to be depicted as the villains?
Okay, so I have three children, the oldest of whom, my daughter, is just entering kindergarten, and she's watched this Doc McStuffins show on a number of occasions. To be honest, if she'd seen this episode, I probably wouldn't have noticed until she came to me explaining that, you know, some children have two mommies, two daddies, instead of one of each. Children absorb things on the level of emotion. They don't think on a rational level, as adults are supposed to. When they see sort of bright primary colors and smiling faces, they automatically think, this is good. This is presented to me as good, and so I believe it as good. The problem with that is that ideas enter their thinking and their worldview without any sort of rational consideration. They haven't thought about natural law arguments. They haven't thought about teleology. They haven't thought about the created design. All they've seen is a cartoon that sort of presents this as a beautiful and good thing. And so they absorb it very quickly and without resistance. That's why I think it's important for us to revive this idea of the Christian bubble. And that's sort of been a pejorative term for many years. It conjures up images like the movie The Village, where children are just raised in insulation or isolation even from the rest of the world in order to keep them from being corrupted by the influences of the world. Now, there have been abuses of that, for certain. But I think we have to admit, when you're looking at the current landscape, we realize this is nothing terribly new for Disney. You know, we just saw the live-action adaptation of Beauty and the Beast, which raised a lot of concerns over the fact that it had this so-called gay moment, which was sort of innocuous when you finally saw it. But nevertheless, this is par for the course with Disney. And now they're looking at, they and other major entertainment companies are looking at putting it into the preschool market. Basically, this is good. You've just learned to walk. Let me tell you what a family looks like. Sometimes it's not always a mommy and a daddy. That's why it's important, because it's emotional for children. It's subrational.
So how do we strike the balance or fail to resolve the tension between overreacting to these things? When we're talking preschool children, these children are defenseless, as you've just pointed out, not only intellectually, but also emotionally. And my fatherly, grandfatherly instincts are to overreact. How do we balance that overreaction with a strong reaction and response?
The first thing is to know what the Christian bubble is actually for. It's not to last for a lifetime. It's like kind of training wheels. You know, you insulate what your kids hear and watch, and and listen to and are exposed to because you're giving them that space for training. You're taking the time to sort of instruct them in the truth and the right views. You wouldn't expose them to false views of mathematics before you'd taken the time to actually teach them the true times tables and so forth. Same thing is true of what we believe to be God's created reality. And what that means is that the bubble is a sort of training environment and that you need to prepare kids as they mature and become go closer to adulthood to actually deal with these things in the real world, because eventually the bubble's going to pop. Eventually they're going to come into contact with the adult real world and they need to know how to deal with it. And there are two really crucial things to remember there. The first is that you've got to make the arguments. You know, you can't let them be based on this be based on emotion. Tim Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian recently tweeted out that if your sort of opposition to homosexuality crumbles as soon as you meet a nice gay couple, you probably were bigoted. You didn't actually have a grasp on the arguments from a Christian worldview of why this is not a family. So that's one thing. You can't be based on emotion. It has to be based on rational concerns. The second thing is that they need a moral category that I call being troublers of Israel, and that's the name of my blog, but they really have to learn how to be seen as the bad guys in our culture, and that's a tough thing. We look at the sort of massive loss of millennials. The statistics are just staggering. The number of millennials who now approve something like 3/4 of same-sex relationships, and then you overlay that with the number of millennials who actually identify as evangelical or conservative Christian, then it's sort of it's just staggering. And the reason, I think, is because we haven't taught children in the church to think past those emotional reactions, to actually deal with things rationally, and then to be seen as the villain when that happens, to be willing to accept this label, you're a hater, and to respond with love, but to stand firm. Because the majority of my peers, Todd, when they encounter that nice gay couple, and they encounter someone who seems in all respects to be decent and loving and good, and maybe is on a very important level, they look at that and say, I don't see what's wrong with this. And I have no category to stand against it because I would be an evil person to do so. So we need to learn how to be seen as the villains.
Shane, if we were living in, say, Nazi Germany in the late 30s and early 40s, raising children there, we would, as conscientious Christians, be doing exactly this. We would be shielding them from the horrors and the terrible things for as long as we could. And then we would be telling them the truth about what the world and society we live in is really like. And we would say, look, this is our society. I'd like to take you out of this, but we can't. And we're going to have to learn to live as enemies of this society. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Well, that's a really good question, Todd. A number of different books have come out recently sort of trying to answer this question. Tony Eastland has one, I think. Rod Dreher's The Benedict Option has really been the focus for a lot of people. And it's sort of his proposal to live in a post-Christian society. How do you maintain Christian orthodoxy? How do you, from generation to generation, pass on a faith that is inimical to the main worldview of our society? And that's something that, to be honest, I haven't entirely decided on myself. There are a number of really convincing strategies, I think, for what it looks like to engage this culture. But at the bottom line of it, I think, is that we have to teach children the true, the good, and the beautiful from a Christian perspective. We have to teach them that this is not about hating somebody. This is not about sort of having an outdated animus, as Justice Kennedy might say, toward LGBT citizens. This is about Christians believing a vision of reality as created, as described in Genesis, which is fundamentally different from the vision of reality that our culture is giving us. If you help children understand that and you give them this framework and vision to work from, and you help them realize that it's good and that it comes from a place of love, and that ultimately you have the gospel, which is not legalistic, which is not focused on condemning people, it's focused on Jesus' work on our behalf, bringing us out of brokenness from the fall. When you do those things, I think that you're creating, and that's what I'm trying to do with my children, creating an appealing, beautiful, and a vision that rings true for their lives that will sort of help them weather the storm of being opposed to the culture.
Finally then, Shane, talk about the fact that this is, while there is certainly a legal push, this is far more a psychological, emotional, marketing kind of a push. It's coming out of Disney, which is quintessentially corporate America and entertainment, and aimed directly at the smallest children they can possibly market to. Talk about that, if you would.
We can't entertain the illusion, and I think this is something that Rod Dreher gets 100% right. We can't entertain this illusion that we're still living in a basically Christian culture, or a culture that is strongly sort of influenced and has categories that are framed by Christian thinking. We're not. Our culture is, a dominant culture at least, is inimical to our view. And for the folks at Disney, this is something very important to realize. For the folks at Disney, for the folks at Google, for all of these major corporations that are at the forefront of this push, and it's not coming from the government, like you said, primarily, it's coming from the power players in our economy and our culture. And the reason they're doing this is because they think it's true and good and beautiful. They are convinced that this is the right thing, and that those of us who look at this and oppose this and say, no, the family should be one man, one woman, and their children, that's God's creative vision, they look at that and they say, no, that's bigotry. That's wrong. That's hateful, and that is analogous to the Jim Crow South or something like that. What they believe is that this is right, and that they are helping children see what's right and get past their parents' bigotries. I think if we understand how deeply the roots go on this and how firmly convinced a lot of the cultural players are, we'll be able to more effectively address it. And I don't know that I have all the answers for addressing a Disney. You know, I'm not going to tell people they have to boycott Disney products. But at some point, we may need to. I don't know where that line is. But I do know for sure that as a parent, I'm not going to let my kids watch, you know, the Disney Junior channel unsupervised. I probably won't let them watch it at all, because this sort of thing could come up. And they don't have the sort of philosophical and theological categories to deal with it. They don't have the armor.
G. Shane Morris is senior writer for Breakpoint. He's author of a recent column titled On the Christian Bubble and Being the Bad Guys. You can read it at our website online, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Shane, thank you very much for your time.
Josh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Wall Street Journal ran a story recently about the closing of seminaries in mainline Protestantism. We're going to talk about that phenomenon. Dr. Larry Rast, president and professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the other side of the break.
Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.